What are technics? Technics, T-E-C-H-N-I-C-S. Technic is a term devised by Lewis Mumford. And his fundamental, his start-off point for that was that technologies don't emerge from a vacuum. It takes a certain mindset to create a certain technology, and then once that technology is created, it leads to a certain mindset. So in order to, another way to look at this is that the Tallawa Indians did not invent backhoes, they didn't invent chainsaws, they didn't invent refrigerators, and it's not because they were too stupid, it's because they didn't have a mindset that led them to find those technologies necessary or desirable, and so they never invented them. For example, if you live where there are salmon runs more or less constantly, and so there is lots of salmon you can eat more or less constantly, and if salmon are delicious as they are, why would you possibly need refrigeration? The meat stays much fresher in the river itself. So you catch them, you smoke them, you eat them. There's no need for refrigeration. And if food is abundant and it's available everywhere, once again, there's really no need for refrigeration. The need for refrigeration comes when you either transport food long distances or when there are sorts of food scarcities that will, I'm not going to go outside into my backyard and pick dinner. Instead, I need to store it from the the grocery store. That's just one example. So it takes a certain mindset to create a technology, and then once you have this technology, it will change how you perceive the world. Now let's look for a moment about, well, and let's back up. That a technic then is his word for the social system that leads to a certain technology and the social system that emerges from that technology and the technology itself. So an automobile would have a larger technic. An automobile would be a specific set of technologies, but then you have the mindset that led to it, that emerges from it, and so on. So for example, if you have an automobile, it changes how you perceive the world. So that I live 3 miles from a grocery store, and let's not even get into the technic associated with a grocery store, but we'll get into the fact that I live 3 miles from it. I have an automobile, and so I can go to the grocery store, and if I forget an item, I don't care because it's only 3 miles. On the other hand, if I'm walking to the grocery store and I walk these 3 miles, I am going to get every single thing that I have to because I don't want to walk 3 miles again. It's a bigger deal. Airplanes change how we perceive distance. Suddenly flying from Crescent City, California to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is a one-day trip as opposed to without that technology, it would be a, presuming it ever happened, it would be a trip of months. It would take you a long time to get there. So technologies change how we perceive geography. And this ends up getting to be really important for any number of reasons. One of them is that Lewis Mumford wrote this extraordinary essay called Authoritarian and Democratic Technics. He wrote this in the early 60s, and I highly, highly, highly recommend that you turn off this video, you go read the essay, and then you come back. The essay is only 10 pages. It will take you 10, 12 minutes to read. Extraordinary, one of the most important essays I've ever read. And in this, he talks about how technics can fall into two basic camps. They are authoritarian technics and democratic technics. And authoritarian technics will arise from and lead to authoritarian power structures. And democratic technics will arise from and lead to democratic power structures. These are the technics themselves. It doesn't matter if you're nice, it doesn't matter if you want to have democracy. If you have the technic, you're going to have the authoritarian power structure. I'll give some examples that should make it clear. That first off, if an item is something that you can make yourself and that no one can control you because of this, then it is probably democratic. So, for example, basket weaving. No one can control whether I can or cannot get access to sedges, reeds, bark, the various items I need to make a basket. That doesn't mean that I can't stink at it. There can be people who are excellent basket makers and people who are terrible basket makers. I'm not saying there's not skill involved. I'm saying no one can control my access to baskets. I can make them. Another example of a democratic technique would be bows and arrows, that anyone can create a bow and arrow if you have access to the wood, to the material for the string. And on the other hand, a gun would be an authoritarian technique because it requires mining. And if you require mining, that means that you require somebody to go into the mines. And mining has been historically so horrible that the only way you can get people to go into them is by enslaving them or capturing them, you know, the captive slaves. And so if something involves mining, it's probably going to be an authoritarian technique. So we can, oh, here's another good example, is that passive solar is a democratic technique in that anyone can align their home to the sun. Honeybees align their home to the sun. I'm sure that lots of non-human animals align their homes to the sun. And on the other hand, solar photovoltaics require a mining and transportation infrastructure, which means if you want to have a mining infrastructure, if you want to have solar photovoltaics, it means you have to have mines. It means you have to have somebody to police the mines. You have to have a military in order to steal the land for the mines. You have to have a military and police to force people into the mines. You have to have a transportation infrastructure that allows you to transport the mined materials to the place where they are sent. You have to have police all along the way to guard the materials along the as they're being transported. And so it's a great example of this is several years ago, I was being interviewed by a journalist for Nature Online magazine. And he was a dedicated Marxist, he told me, who believed that you could create an industrial society with cities where everyone had only voluntary economic exchanges. And I said, no, you can't. And he said, yes, you can. And I said, okay, you have cities, right? And he said, yes. I said, so how do you have transportation in cities? We all get on buses. You have a great mass transport system. I said, what are the buses made of? He said, metal. I said, great. Where do you get the metal? He said, mines. I said, great. How do you get people to go into the mines? He said, you pay them lots of money. I told him all the stuff I said just a moment ago. And I said, but I'll give you that. You can just pay them lots of money to spend their lives down underground. It's just horrible for them, but they do it because they get lots of money. I said, but also mines inherently pollute rivers. And he agreed to that. And I said, okay, so what do you do about the people who live along the river? He said, well, you pay them to move. I said, but what if they don't want money? What if they have lived by this river for 5,000 years and the river is their life and their ancestors reside here underground? And so they refuse to move. He said, we pay them more. I said, no, they will not leave their ancestors. What are you going to do? He said, how many of them are there? I said, I don't know. What does it matter? There's 400. He said, well, the people in the city vote. You have 1 million people in the city. They vote to kick the people by the river out because they need the mine. They need the materials from the mines to make their buses. So I said, you have moved in less than a minute from purely voluntary exchanges to empire, land theft from the indigenous, and genocide, all so you can have buses for mass transportation. And these are inherent in the technologies. So Mumford made that distinction, like I said, between the authoritarian techniques that will inevitably lead to arise from an authoritarian impulse and lead to authoritarian power structures and other techniques which will arise from a desire for democratic governing systems and lead to democratic governing systems. Now, much of it is, can I make it by myself? So computers are inherently authoritarian, not only because I can't make one in my backyard. They require plastics, which require the entire industrial infrastructure. They require metals, which require the entire industrial infrastructure. They are used more effectively by, globalization would not be possible without computers in the way it's currently globalized. Mass transport, air travel would not be possible without computers. And also, the modern military would not be possible without computers. Those are all, at every moment, as Gerrymander says, we have to, you know, we can think that computers are all great, but we have to remember at every moment that the transnational corporations and the military are using them far more effectively than we are, and they will by definition. So that's a reason that a computer is, no matter how democratizing some people think it might be, it is still a grotesquely authoritarian technique. Now, it's not just, and GMOs are inherently authoritarian too, because I can't do it in my backyard. I can't do it in my basement. So basically, that's the first part of the question. Can I do it by myself? But that's not the only question, because a really great example of that is the plow. That on one hand, I could actually make a wooden plow. It's not that hard to construct one by yourself. But the plow is in many, even though I can make it myself, it also leads to authoritarian power structures because, for a few reasons. One of them is that there are few things in the world that are more difficult than pulling a plow. And so, along with mining, agriculture was one of the first, plow-based agriculture was one of the first forms of slavery. That you get somebody else, including a non-human, to pull your plow. And that is part of the reason that a plow is an authoritarian technique, but another part of the reason that it's an authoritarian technique is that what's the purpose of a plow? A plow, the purpose is to convert the entire biome to human use. And that in itself makes an authoritarian technique because you're stealing from everyone else who lives there. And then there's another reason too that it is because once you convert the entire land base to human use, one of the things that happens is that multiple things happen. One is that this local food surplus is then captured by the king. And if the king can control your food, the king can control your labor. So the first cities had walls not around the outside to protect them supposedly from raiders, but instead the walls are around the granary to protect the king's grain from everybody else because he knew if you control people's food, you control their labor. And so it's authoritarian that way, but it's authoritarian in another way too, because if you convert the entire land base to human use, one of the things that happens is that the human population increases. And another thing that happens is that you destroy the land over the long term. And if you destroy the land over the long term, you and your population has increased, you now have a choice. You can either collapse or you can conquer somebody else. And what empires generally choose to do is to conquer somebody else. So once you have committed yourself to a plow, you have committed yourself to an expanding way of life. Because once again, I want to be very clear about this. So you have this piece of land. This is where your people live. And you could have 1,000 people live here forever. But you cut down all the trees. You plow up all the soil. And then you convert this to human use means you can have 4,000 people here, but you're destroying the soil. You're destroying the capacity. You're destroying the carrying capacity and permanently lowering it. So after a time, it could only support 600 people. But in the meantime, you have expanded to 4,000. You have a choice. You can either have those people die off or stop having babies for a while, or you can go capture your neighbor. But because you have expanded your population and you have turned all those beautiful trees into weapons of war, you have a competitive advantage over your neighbor who didn't do that. You now have a standing military. You know, 1,000 people are still doing the agriculture. You've got 1,000 people who are priests and 1,000 people who are soldiers. The soldiers conquer somebody else, and then you use their land to increase your population. Meanwhile, you're destroying that. and you create this situation. We have to conquer the next people over, the next people over, which is what we've seen for the last 6,000 years, since ever since totalitarian agriculture started. So that's why it's not, the fact that you can make it yourself is not sufficient to make it a democratic technique. It's how it's going to be used as well. And then that's part of how democratic and authoritarian techniques are separated, but he called them authoritarian techniques for another reason too, which is not merely that they create authoritarian power structures, but that the technology itself becomes authoritarian. And this is the brilliance of Lewis Mumford, that what he realized is that the technology takes over and we serve the technology as opposed to it serving us. Like I said, once you have gone to a plow, you have created an overabundance of people and you've destroyed the land, means now you're conquering. Why are you conquering? Because of what the plow did. Or another example is automobiles are definitely authoritarian technic. And one of the ways to think about this is, for whom or what are cities designed? Are cities designed for human beings? No. They're designed for automobiles. They're designed to make it convenient to use automobiles. Who's in charge? So when, right now, it is pretty much recognized that the oil economy is killing the planet. Well, industrial civilization is killing the planet, but we'll leave that aside for a second. That the oil economy is causing global warming. And global warming could quite possibly kill the planet. At the very least, it's currently recognized it's killing the oceans. It will probably inundate major cities along coasts everywhere. Okay, so if we care about human beings, let's say we don't even care about the oceans, but we care about human beings, and we have some things that are happening that are leading to the inundation of New York City, you would think that you would go, gosh, let's stop doing this thing that's leading to the inundation of New York City. But we can't, because we are enslaved to the oil economy. The oil economy is actually what's in charge. And it's the same with industrial civilization killing the planet. We can't question industrial civilization. We can't question that authoritarian regime. We are serving it. There's a great line by Frederick Winslow Taylor, the guy who came up with Taylorization, which is the process of rationalizing or making very straightforward the processes of many parts of industrialization. For example, McDonald's, do you have somebody making a hamburger? He rationalized the process to get rid of all extraneous movements. That's another meaning of the word rationalize. It doesn't just mean to come up with how do you rationalize the fact that I was, you know, late for dinner. But instead, it also means getting rid of every extraneous consideration. So to rationalize a process of making a hamburger, you get rid of all extraneous movements. He did that. And he had this great line, which is, in the past, the man was first. In the future, the system shall be first. Another authoritarian technique is money. How many people work jobs they don't like? Lots. Why? Because they want to make money. Or rich people, you know, Donald Trump, all them. Why do they do what they do? So they can make more money. I mean, Donald Trump, in terms of physical comforts, he has enough money to have physical comforts for the rest of his life. He's not going to have to work like people who don't have money have to do. But once again, who's in charge? Who's in charge is the money? Why are they doing, so many environmentalists ask, why are they trying to destroy this piece of ground so they can make money? That doesn't make any sense. You can't eat money. You can't have sex with money. You can't, I mean, you can rub money against your face, but it doesn't feel good. I mean, you can't actually get anything out of money. Who's in charge? The money's in charge. The money is what's driving people to do all sorts of terrible things. Who's in charge? So the techniques themselves run away from us, and they get out of our control. And they're actually running society. So as a friend of mine says, a doctor friend of mine says, the first step toward cure is proper diagnosis. And if we, or to go a different direction, somebody, Robert Coombs, said that unquestioned assumptions are the real authorities of any culture. You can't stop cars from running our lives without recognizing that they're running our lives. So the first step for people is to recognize that these authoritarian techniques are in fact in charge. It's a joke a friend told me several years ago, which is it was a picture of a toaster talking. No, I'm sorry. It was a picture of some piece of technology talking to a human being and saying, "We had you from the toaster." The question is, how do these machines control our lives? How do these techniques control our lives? How do they control society? You know, another example of this, and this happens all the time, technological so-called progress, which I call technological escalation, is another example of this, that so often, whenever someone develops some idea, genetically modified organisms or pesticides, we say, gosh, we have to think about whether this is actually going to be released into the world. And then before you know it, it actually is released into the world. There's an inevitability about it that once they come up with it, it demands to be released and it gets released. And that is a remarkably stupid way to organize your society, such that you allow technologies to run rampant over your social systems and to allow them to determine what your social systems will be and to allow them to determine the direction of your society. The direction of your society should be controlled by, should be determined by what is best for human and non-human life. So, I guess long and short, this is not a particularly strong ending, but long and short of this is that people need to be aware. When people say that a piece of technology is simply a piece of technology and you can use it for good or ill, that's just not true. Any piece of technology carries with it some profound assumptions and profound implications for your way of life. And we need to be aware of those, and we need to reject especially as a society, the authoritarian techniques that have been running this culture and that have been running the earth into the ground for the last several thousand years.